At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings and Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price are in Canada on a trade mission this week. They're strengthening existing business ties between Canada and their respective cities and also trying to address concerns about NAFTA. President Trump has said he'll renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement, but Rawlings told Toronto TV station CP24 the president needs to tread carefully.
I think the deeper he gets into understanding how tight our economies are woven, okay, you're not going to be able to pull just one string, and the whole sweater starts to come unraveled.
NAFTA lowered trade barriers between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, and Price says Texas has seen a major economic boost from the agreement.
We have, you know, roughly 68 Canadian companies operating in Fort Worth and Dallas, and 130 or more Fort Worth and Dallas companies operating here.
Rawlings and Price will visit Montreal today to meet with the city's mayor and chamber of commerce. Texas cities are taking their own stance on another international issue, the Paris Climate Agreement. After President Trump announced the U.S. was withdrawing, Mayor Mike Rawlings recently announced Dallas would join a coalition of mayors across the country to honor the agreement. Many big businesses in Texas are making their own moves to fight climate change apart from federal requirements. Reporter Jeff Mosier covers energy and the environment for the Dallas Morning News. He spoke with Public Radio's Texas Standard.
Businesses, particularly large corporations, and particularly ones that are multinational, really care a lot about climate change. They're very concerned about supply chains and about regulations overseas, as well as just general consumer interest.
Toyota, which moved its North American headquarters to Plano, is focusing on electric cars. Irving-based ExxonMobil has also backed the Paris Climate Accord. Scientists in North Texas have identified more than 100 genes linked to memory. As part of KERA's Breakthroughs Project, Justin Martin talked with Dr. Genevieve Konupka of UT Southwestern Medical Center about what her research teaches us about the human brain.
First off, tell me about the significance of your research, about these 100 genes linked to memory.
Well, it's really remarkable because until we had identified these genes, there are very few, at least in humans, that had been known to be directly associated with memory. There are many that we've identified, say, in animal models or for our patients who have specific disorders where genes are disrupted. But in this case, many of them, we know very little about what they're doing, and they haven't been studied in the brain at all. So this is very exciting as a scientist because now there's so many different ways that we can study these particular genes. One of the challenges in studying the human brain and human brain disorders is that it's really difficult to access the tissue, right? What's going on? So we can do a number of things like put patients in scanners and look at their brain activity, but to get at the molecular level, at the genetic level, our tools are very limited. And so this is one of the first studies that's really been able to dig down and identify these specific genes.
How do you go about studying these genes in memory? I mean, is the equipment new that's allowing you to do this?
I was aided by a really great collaborator at UT Southwestern, Dr. Bradley Lega, who's a neurosurgeon, and conducts research in patients who are awake and undergoing neurosurgery for epilepsy. And so he's doing recordings inside the brain while they're awake, doing a memory task. And we took that information and looked at how it correlated with other measurements of brain function, in this case, gene expression. So the gene information came from separate individuals who had passed away and donated their brain tissue. And so we could use that information remarkably and correlate it with the awake behaving individual's brain activity. And that's how we were able to identify these genes.
What kind of possibilities could this research lead to?
What we think is that it'll allow us to develop new therapies for these patients who have epilepsy or with patients who have specific memory disorders. Right now, the treatments are very limited and ineffective in many individuals. And so if we have newly identified molecular mechanisms, we can take that information and put it into various pipelines for developing new drugs and new drug targets. And so we think that this will open up a lot of new avenues of research.
How did you react when you realized you made this discovery?
I was super excited because as a scientist, we're always trying to, you know, we assume that we're going to get a negative result, you know, prove the null hypothesis, so to speak. And so when we actually get these positive results, and the in this case, when the list of genes came out, it was very interesting.
How far off do you think that we are from this research being turned into something practical?
Well, I'm really optimistic. I think the pace of scientific research has really accelerated in the past 5 to 10 years. I don't want to put a number on it because I don't want to be called wrong in the future, but I think it's going to happen soon. And I tell my students and postdocs in the lab that this is really something that they're going to be working on in both in the short term and the long term, because even if we have therapies soon, there'll still be many other questions that we'll need to answer.
We still don't know a lot about the brain. Why is that?
It's a lot more complicated than I think anyone appreciated for a long time, for sure. Even, you know, as an eager undergraduate many, many years ago, we thought, well, if we knew all of the genes in the human genome, that would give us insight. Or if we could just identify what are the cell types that are in the brain, maybe that would give us insight. And now we realize in each individual cell, in each part of the brain, during any particular behavior, things are dynamic. And so it's infinitely more complicated than I think anyone could have appreciated.
Dr. Genevieve Konopka is an assistant professor of neuroscience with the O'Donnell Brain Institute at UT Southwestern Medical Center. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up on the BBC NewsHour, the latest on the massive fire that burned a high-rise apartment building in London. Some escaped, but it's feared many did not. More from eyewitnesses, emergency services, and building experts on the extent of the fire and what fire safety was like before the blaze occurred. NewsHour begins at 9 o'clock. In the forecast, partly sunny skies, a high near 93 expected today, overnight low around 76. Warmer tomorrow with a high near 96. It's 80 degrees now in Dallas, 79 in Fort Worth, 76 in Wichita Falls, and 78 in Tyler.